Well, it's here.
Finally.
It's a movie I knew that when this podcast was created, it would be reviewed. It's something I have been thinking about, especially since the beginning of this season and as the season has gone along. There are stories I need to tell about it, but we'll save that for the middle. This is our Arachnophobia review. I haven't really talked to Justin much about it. But we're going to be tackling some stuff. Justin, I know you had mentioned earlier when we were talking. Oh wow, I didn't say I'm Larry. I'm the host of I'm the host of the podcast. And Justin's over here. Sorry, I'm stressing.
I'm the other host, Justin. Yeah, I was going to wait until you were done and then just introduce myself totally and forgot. See if you picked up. But
I totally
whatever.
Forgot. I'm sorry. I'm stressed. Jay, you mentioned that you kind of had a slow week. Is there anything you want to talk about? What's been new with you or anything?
Obviously, to start off, I got my Pfizer shot on Monday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I am on my way to being vaccinated, which is fun.
And honestly, with the one shot, I think you're like 66% less susceptible to severe symptoms. And then when you get the second one, it's like 99. So, awesome.
That's nice. Yeah, that's something I like to hear. 66 is better than none for the fucking weeks I have to wait. Other than that, like Larry said, I honestly, my work has just been so crazy this week. I haven't really gotten around to doing much of anything except for... I don't know if, Larry, you know this or not, but I can't ride a bike. I never learned how to ride a bike.
Really?
Yeah. My wife bought us bikes, and she's going to teach me how to ride a bike when they get here in, like, 2 weeks.
It's a lot of fun. Did you get a street bike or a mountain bike?
We just got a mountain bike.
Okay, that'll be actually probably easier for you to learn.
So the thing is because I always, like, rollerbladed when I was a kid, so I was like, man, I'm too cool for fucking bikes. And then... It didn't come up for like years, and then obviously I'm in my 30s and I haven't learned how to ride a bike. So
there were a lot of times growing up where my bike was a nice escape, just to hop on and just go on like bike paths and stuff.
I don't need that now. I have a vehicle.
Yeah, but it'll be a lot more fun than walking on the treadmill. I promise you that.
Yeah, well, I don't know because I have like my PS4 hooked up, or not my PS4, my PS5 hooked up to the treadmill, so I just like bang at some games. Anyways, other than that, I watched Arachnophobia and worked. I didn't do fuck all. But what about yourself, Larry?
So I'm going to get a little bit personal. We're going to talk about how my week has just been something special. so people know I do science, and the cell culture hood, which is like a sterile environment in our room, has been broken. So I've had to transfer my cell culture from my room to another room to do it. And I got a bacterial infection in my cell cultures, which I've been like working on for like 6 months now. Never happened to me before, and all my time of doing science, I honestly don't know what happened. Had to throw them all the way. It happens. Like my body, it's something that happens. I'm just very frustrated because I lost all that time. So that happened. Took my dogs to the vet. It had been a while since they had been there. We wanted to get them all up to date on shots and rabies vaccines and flea medication, and that cost me a solid $800.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, three chihuahuas and what's that divided by, like 250-something?
Yes.
All three of them each.
It's like 275 or something like that.
And then Sunday morning, some people, I know Dark was in the chat. I think Exquisite Liar from Forever Classic Games was in the chat.
Oh, right.
I tried to stream the Saw game on my PC.
Yeah. About that.
And it... damn near killed my computer. I have been messing around with it a little bit. I deleted a bunch of extra stuff on it. I'm going to try to start streaming Death Stranding this weekend. I think it will be okay if it's just Streamlabs operating on the computer and pulling it and not running Streamlabs and a game. So we're going to see how that works. But it does appear that my PC is far closer to the end of its life than it is to its beginning. Justin hopped on a Skype call with me on Sunday, my good friend Matt, not the troll Common P, my other friend Matt, has talked to me too. You guys seem to think like it might be like an easier fix, like a hard drive replacement kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is obviously way more sustainable than having to build something new. Because I'm trying to buy a house next year. Like, that's my top priority. And I do want to build like a very powerful top-of-the-line PC. It's always been a dream of mine to do that. But priorities. And I would rather have a house to put that high-powered PC instead of keep living in these shitty-ass apartments. So, yeah, I have just been being tested. I'm hoping that there is some kind of glorious thing at the end of this test, because I have not risen to the rises. But, I mean, besides that, like, I've been playing a little bit more Bravely Default. Still enjoying it, taking my time, doing a lot of grinding. I'm in the third city.
I haven't touched
it. I know. I figured you mentioned it.
I do the boat stuff. I literally send them off, and then I come back 12 hours later and get my shit. So I'm, like, super fucking over-leveled right now.
It'd be awesome. I've been playing a little bit of Deebs. I actually played Destiny for the first time while I was waiting for Justin tonight for, like, an hour. First time I had touched that in, like, 4 or 5 weeks. That was kind of weird hopping back into it. There's a lot of stuff I need to do with just story progression. Watch Tractophobia. I think that's pretty much it. I'm pretty excited for Godzilla vs. Kong this weekend.
Yeah. Is it this weekend?
It comes out Friday, I believe.
Oh, fuck. I need to get on that. Okay.
Yeah. We have 2 weeks till that review. And obviously, Seagram is writing up something as well. So we'll have a bunch of opinions on that. But kind of the last thing I have is I bought my first pair of Converse. And they're going to be here tomorrow. And they are bright-ass pink. And I'm pretty pumped about it.
Well, you should take a picture and put it in the Discord when they get here.
Okay, I can do that. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Like I said, it's been
a week.
Similar to you, it's been a lot of like outside stuff.
Yeah.
And some kind of podcast stuff too, I guess, related. I was trying to play Saw, but my good friend Casey let me borrow his 360, so I'm just going to play that off stream and get it done for the review and stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm very focused on this movie, and I think we should just stop playing around. So if you have nothing else.
No, I got nothing.
All right, hit the music. Let's do it. Justin, this was your first time viewing this film, correct?
Yeah, it absolutely was.
But you also said you were afraid of spiders. Can you remember the moment you became afraid of spiders? Like, do you remember what happened that made you afraid of them?
Yeah, absolutely I can. It was a skit on SNL when I was like 4, I think. I just happened to come across and... it was this lady was in bed and a giant ass spider landed on her face and she couldn't get it off. And
oh, wow.
And that's kind of the moment it happened.
So for myself, it is legitimately directly because of this movie. I think I was 5. So it's like 5 years after the movie came out.
Yeah.
And my family was watching this in the living room. And I remember I had to walk across the floor to go to the bathroom. And my dad teased me if I was afraid. And I was a 5-year-old. I was like, I'm not afraid. And he rolled this, like, squishy Nerf ball in my path. While the lights are off in the living room, I couldn't see it. And I stepped on it. And I thought it was a spider. And it shook me.
I mean, clearly it led to, well.
And I just have so many stories. I remember one time I was working with my dad. I think I was in like late middle school, early high school, and he's a surveyor. So we were walking through the woods. I remember running into a spider web, and I was carrying all this expensive ass equipment and just threw it in the air and freaked out. I was absolutely like, could not handle what had happened. I remember my freshman year of high school, my dad was annoyed by my arachnophobia, and he captured 6 garden spiders so the yellow ones with the black stripes.
Okay.
And put them in these big mason jars and put them in my bedroom to do like a food experiment, feed them different kinds of foods and see what happened. That was when I learned that spiders talk. Like, they use their legs to communicate. Like, legitimately okay, yeah, use yeah. their legs
I thought,
to communicate.
I thought you meant, like, you lost well, your no, mind they, and they were fucking opening like, their mouth.
They use their legs to talk back and forth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My sisters would hide fake spiders in my bed and in my drawers and stuff.
So you were tortured, and that's why. It's all kind of making sense now, Larry.
And then I also remember one time when me and the Common Pea worked at Select Sires, which is like an agricultural kind of lab. Like they sort cow semen,
okay,
and sell it for dairy farmers. But it's in this lab was like in a barn, and sometimes there would be spiders. I remember one time Matt caught one in a 50-milliliter conical and threw it at me.
So you have literally everybody you know has tortured you with spiders.
There have been times where I've been showering and I'd see a spider like on the shower curtain or on the wall, and I would just literally freeze up and have to call for Devin. And it all comes back to this movie. It had been a long time since I had seen this movie. But it literally all comes back to that night when I was 5 years old walking across the floor and stepping on a Nerf ball. I don't remember ever being afraid of spiders until that moment.
Damn. I'm sorry. That really fucking sucks.
There's not a whole lot of things that like lock me up.
Yeah.
But I think some people probably know I was a zoology major in college. And one of my classes was entomology, which is study of insects. Spiders aren't insects; they're arachnids. But we still had like one day's lecture on arachnids, so, like ticks, yeah, scorpions, and spiders. That was the only day of that class I missed.
I don't blame you.
Because the professor was bringing in a tarantula and I was just not here for it.
Sorry, Larry. That really sucks. I'm sorry that so many people have just fucking tortured you.
Lord have mercy. So, Arachnophobia is a 1990 black comedy horror film. It is directed by Frank Marshall. Justin, I am curious. When I say Frank Marshall...
No.
Do you know who he is?
No.
Okay, so he's married to Kathleen Kennedy.
Okay.
Who is the current head of Lucasfilms for Disney.
Oh, okay.
But Kennedy, Marshall, and Spielberg founded Amblin. And Frank Marshall is the longtime contributor to all these films. Okay. So this was his first ever director role. He directed the film Congo in 95. I'm not sure if you've seen that before.
Oh, I have, where Bruce Campbell gets killed in the beginning, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. He's produced some of the greatest films of all time, though. Raiders of the Lost Ark, Poltergeist, Back to the Future, Batteries Not Included, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Cape Fear. Like, this guy's producer roles because of his work with Spielberg, because of his work with Lucas, like he is a master director. And I was actually kind of surprised that he had directed so few things.
Yeah, wow, he's produced a lot of like really fucking good movies.
Yeah, and like he did Jurassic. I mean, even news like Jurassic World, Sully. I'm not sure if you've seen that. It was with I'm pretty blanking on his name. The guy from Big, Tom Hanks. Wow, could not think of that. Born Ultimatum. Like, this, all this stuff. Like, he has been a part of it.
Yeah, so damn.
He's one of these kind of characters you don't really see because he sits in the background. But yeah, he directed this. And when I was going through some research and watching some YouTube videos and stuff, he had two main goals. One, he wanted it to be as scary as absolutely possible. And two, he wanted it to be a companion piece to The Birds.
I definitely see that, like 100%. It is the fucking Birds, but with spiders. So,
the film has two main stars. The first is Jeff Daniels. A lot of people probably really recognize him from Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber, yep.
Exactly, but he's been in a ton of stuff. He was in Pleasantville, which is a film I really, really love. The Hours, Good Night and Good Luck. He was in a Truman Capote drama called Infamous. He's one of my favorite actors. I think he's really, really, really great. And then, as our comic relief and one of the coolest characters we ever had in this whole show, I think, We have John Goodman is in this film too.
Oh man, we are gonna butt heads later. I think.
Oh no, John Goodman plays our local exterminator, and everyone knows John Goodman, whether it be from Roseanne or Argo or The Artist or Flight or Monument Men, 10 Cloverfield Lane. He's just he's an awesome actor.
It's John Goodman. It's he's John like Goodman. One of yeah.
Fred Flintstone.
Oh yeah, fuck. That's right. Isn't he in Red State as well?
I think he is. I think you're right.
I think he's like the cult leader. Yeah. Anyways.
So Steven Spielberg was a producer of this, and there's a lot of stuff we could go into, but I'd rather just review the film proper. But a couple of things I want to note.
Okay.
First, those are all real spiders, including the big ones. Its name was Big Bob.
I mean, there except is, for when it's clearly
there is some not. Puppetry.
Yeah.
But for the most part, those are spiders.
Yeah.
Like on their faces and on the stuff you see, those are real spiders. So we'll make that really, really clear. They used over 300 Avondale spiders, which were all captured from New Zealand. They are considered incredibly social spiders as compared to their brethren, incredibly harmless to humans, sure, and they could be used to guide around set using heat and cold, so they can make them move places based on like temperature.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I thought was really, really awesome.
Yeah.
There were some models, like the general and queen spiders were models, but some of the bigger spiders were
like real spiders. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other fun stuff. So when it premiered at the box office, it came out at number 3, but it came out the same weekend as like two heavy hitters: Ghost, the Patrick Swayze film.
Okay, yeah, the fucking modeling clay. Yes. Yeah.
And Die Hard 2. It made $8 million its first weekend at the box office. It would gross $53 million at the box office over its run. And some fun fact, it made $30 million in home rentals.
Interesting. Well, it got an extra $5 this week. Yeah.
Oh, did it? It was on YouTube TV for free here in America. And like I said, I kind of owned it too.
Oh, it's not here.
Something I wanted to ask you, were you aware that there is a video game of this that came out in 1991?
No.
Commodore 64, DOS, Amstrad, CPC, and Amiga.
Yeah.
Oh, is that why you're aware it doesn't happen? Or we don't have it?
Yeah, I don't think we'll have... I don't think Commodore 64 games really, like, fit. Like, it would... Yeah, I don't think they would fit, really, with...
An imprint of Disney Comics called Hollywood Comics released a comic book adaptation of the film. And that's pretty much it. I really can't think of too much else about this.
I will say, looking at screens of this game, the game over scene, the game over screen looks cool. But other than that, we're not.
Okay, so if you're good, I'm good. Give me a 3-2-1, and I will summarize this movie that I know from the bottom of my heart since I was 5 years old.
All right, well then, 3-2-1, go.
So the movie starts out with a photographer going to Venezuela to go help with a research team discover new species of spiders. They get there, they smoke a tree, and a bunch of these spiders come falling down, which is one of the most creepy, horrifying things of all time. The guy has a fever, goes to sleep down, but the spiders have been captured without boots, or actually was never even captured with a backpack, came out, bit him, and died. They send his body back home to his family, the big spider comes inside, and then comes home, the big spider gets carried by a crow, which it kills, and ends in a barnhouse and mates with the spider. At the same time, the new local population accused of killing people because his baby spider was super poisonous and killing the townsfolk. The culmination is when they finally realize that the spiders that are killing people. Our main doctor is terrified of spiders. He calls in some help to do it, including John Goodman, the good scientist from down in Venezuela. A bunch more people die. Jeff Daniels falls to the floor, ends up in the basement, getting chased around by a spider with a giant nest is at. Has to fight it, the most terrifying, awful thing possible. And they kill the spiders, get the hell out of there, go to San Francisco, only to be trapped by it.
Yeah, I mean, You got it.
Plot.
I can go first if you want, because sure. I feel like we're really going to be at odds for this.
I think so, too.
I thought it had a very strong start. Okay. I liked the idea of kind of going to this unknown location. Well, you know, kind of like foreign location. Kind of yeah. Yeah. And finding these like, oh, a new species of spiders. And it immediately, they kind of, it gets its hooks into somebody, I guess, kind of literally in a way. And finds its way to, like, your everyday small town.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really enjoyed the basic setup to the rest of the movie. We'll get into the rest later.
Even though this movie terrifies me, yeah. I really like it. Like you said, the setup is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of this like small town politics kind of playing a role in like the denial, because it's like a really good embedded denial system. Instead of like being like ignorant to what's happening, there's like a already built in system as to why the townsfolk are burying their head, which I find like it's a refreshing. It's a well written story. I think the characters are all caricatures, which I think you probably have a problem with, because I don't mm-hmm. think I know you didn't like it in like The Birds in particular. So I could see you having another problem with it here. But for me, even though this movie really messes with me, it's a good plot. It's a solid plot. Like I don't think spiders are able to crossbreed like that, thank God in heaven. I don't think they're like dogs and are able to do that. I'm like 99% sure on that. I've been wrong before, so I can't say 100%. But still, it's like, that's like, it's the premise of the movie. So it's not like when I was complaining last week about Underwater where they pick and chose. This one is like, it's one premise and it kind of goes from it, which is fine. It's sci-fi. And I'm cool with that. I think the plot is tight. I don't ever think it really gets boring. I think it's really good. It's like an hour and 20 minutes long. I really wish a lot more movies today that are of the same kind of vein stuck to a tighter script, because I think it makes it for a more enjoyable adventure and a much more cognizant like run through the story. My cons, if any, are that the sheriff is awful in a lot of ways that like I really can't stand. Like yeah. I really hate his character. And the scientist is just so much of a douchebag that I don't understand. Like I wish his like assistant would have been more like, F you, dude. Like this is really, really bad. Like I think he's too much of a douchebag because the time where he does show compassion, it doesn't seem genuine. But no, overall, I actually really like this plot. So
for me, like, I have to agree with you that the lead scientist and the sheriff are just fucking, oh boy, they're just the worst people. I just feel like this movie is very, like, the plot itself seems very like of its time. Like I feel like a lot of movies around this time kind of have that same feel to it, almost like
we've talked about before, that 90s feel.
Yeah, the 90s feel. And I definitely think that it's the same here. And to that point, this being my first viewing of it, it didn't really stick out to me. Like I said, I think the
okay
setup was fantastic. I actually really liked it. In a way, reminded me of the like Jurassic Park,
yeah.
Park Lost World and mm-hmm. like all that stuff. But I just...
Do you agree with me at least that the plot is tight?
So I guess it's tight. Yeah. Like it didn't land with me. That's the thing. It's like, I agree that it's...
I can appreciate not landing with you, because like everybody has their own opinion, but I think we really need to acknowledge with so many of these movies we've had, like think about Lake Placid or even Underwater.
Oh yeah. This is, yeah.
It's just a good written script. And I really like to appreciate that when it happens, because I feel like in horror... Oh, who are you going to complain about? John Goodman? Is that you going to be here?
Obviously the scientist and the cop were fucking right off. The old doctor dude was a fucking piece of shit.
You would be surprised at how real that kind of is, though.
Yeah. So see, like, I've never had to deal with anything like that, though. Like, so for me, like, I mean, half of these characters were like unlikable, because even John Goodman's character.
I love his character. Don't you besmirch.
I didn't. It felt like you said, like a character. And for me, that doesn't work.
How did you like Jeff Daniels' story about how he became afraid of spiders?
Oh, man, I'm trying to remember what the fuck it was.
What? How could you forget that? He was a baby laying in his crib.
Oh, yeah.
Spiders that started crawling towards him and crawled up his right. leg.
The one I do remember, I was thinking to myself, and then I talked to Michelle a bit. I was like, man, I wish I could fucking remember something from like the age, any time before like the age three, fuck four. I don't even think I remember the age four. So I don't know. It was okay, I guess. I don't know. Like it would be freaky if it happened to me now, but I honestly, I don't know. It didn't land with me. It really didn't. And it has that like 90s over the top feel to it. I
bet you're the kind of guy who hates Goonies.
Yeah, we'll talk. like I'll agree with you that it was like it was tight, mm-hmm. and like I can definitely see watching this in the 90s, it like hitting and
yeah,
hitting all those right notes. But watching it now, I feel like. I don't know, I've seen better, and, you know, it just doesn't hold up very well to me.
I gave it a 9.
Oh, boy, I gave it a 6.5.
Yeah, I kind of had a feeling we'd be all over the place with this one.
Yep.
Cinematography, it's nothing special for most of the shots. It has that 90s feel. I appreciate the fact that they actually shot it on location. They shot it in Venezuela. They shot it in rural California. And you can definitely tell. Like it's obvious it was shot on location, which is very much appreciated. I think the biggest thing we can talk about it here for me, in part, because I think we got to save some of it for the end, the fact that they used real spiders for the vast majority of the shots. Because yes, the queen and the general were like animatronics or whatever.
Yeah.
For some of the shots, that's not really the scariest part. The scariest part is like when they're using the spiders around town in like normal situations, in the popcorn, in the shower, underneath the toilet seat. Like that's where they're scariest, and they're real, and they're fucking real, and you can tell. And I have talked about this so many times in this podcast. Practical effects will always trump CGI every single time. Because when you can tell that it's real, even if it's like a mask or puppetry, it is more scary because as soon as you recognize it's computer animated, you lose me. And the fact that they used real spiders to do some of this shit in this movie is incredible. Especially for a guy who is first time directing. Like he did second unit director for some stuff with Spielberg.
Yeah.
But like this is his first time helming it. And yeah. The way they use the spiders in this is awful. It's awful in like the best sense of that word. Like it's
yeah. No, I do agree with you. Like I think it's cool that they did, and then it kind of also falls back on the whole like I don't know. There's nothing like crazy here. Like it's nothing like. It's just kind of like falls in the middle really for me. Like it's awesome. That they use like the actual spiders, even like you mentioned the puppetry was okay, but
they
I would rather
sometimes,
them
sometimes like I remember in particular I didn't like the dog door when it came out of that. I thought that looked
that was
super fake.
Yeah.
But in the basement, like that was like at times it was kind of corny, like when he was throwing bottles at it. But other times it was like
when he fucking threw it in the fire and it came back like Chucky.
Oh.
At him. Oh,
that
you like that?
Me.
I did not.
I didn't like it. It scared me. You got to understand, Justin, when I'm watching this, I was yelling. Like, we'll save it for how scared. I was literally yelling at the screen. And yes, but I think a lot of my scores are jaded by the fact that this movie messed with me a lot.
Yeah, because, I mean, again, for a first time viewing, it wasn't anything crazy or too special. I'm just happy they didn't use 90s CGI really.
Yeah, and like I said, like I definitely fully understand that this is like nothing special to write home about, with the exception of the fact that they used live spiders in a lot of these shots, and it elevated the film for me beyond normal 90s fare because of that.
Yeah, that's fair.
I give it an 8.
I give it a 5.
You're a hater. I'm afraid to see this one. Audio. I love all the characters in this. Even the douchebag ones. I think that they all play good roles. I think they all play good actors. I think they all embody it. Jeff Daniels is perfect. I think it's just so crazy the versatility he has as an actor. From super serious, yeah, super funny. Like, it's just all over the place. And he does a great, great, great job. And he drives his film home. I love his character, man. I'm sorry you don't like John Goodman's character. I think he comes in at all the right parts. I think he's funny. I think he's sincere. I just think that his character is so needed in this movie, especially for someone like me who is on edge from the fucking start of the movie when the song starts playing to the very end. Like, when he comes in there, it's like, okay, I can breathe. You know what I mean? Like, especially when he sprayed that spider and squished it, like, after that stressful shower sequence and toilet sequence, like, I needed that, and I thought it was delivered perfectly.
That's fair. I mean, obviously, we've talked about it before. I'm not a huge fan of, like, the over-the-top the over-the-top people in these kinds of movies. And, I mean, it goes the same here. I did love Jeff Daniels. I thought he was amazing in this.
Yeah.
I
would call you a crazy person if you think he was.
Oh, like, no, he's fantastic. Astounding. Yeah, but again, everybody else falls under like this, like, very over the top version of what they would be, and it doesn't work for me. It really doesn't. And honestly, I know the music stands out to you.
Yes,
I am. It falls to the wayside for me.
Again, I fully understand that because.
Yeah.
In a similar way, I think if this podcast ever gets around to reviewing a film like Predator,
yeah,
it's another one that's kind of embedded with me for different reasons. But I also wonder, like, because, like, the lines in that movie and the score in that movie are just, like, implanted in my head. But I watched that when I was also, like, 5 years old with my grandpa. Like,
yeah.
So I wonder if, like, that's just, like, nostalgia playing in, which we talk about in this podcast. Like, this is our own personal scores. Like, we're not trying to, like, be Cisco, like Roger Ebert's out here, right? We're doing our own thing.
Yeah.
And I fully recognize that the trauma this movie has implanted upon the entirety of my life has elevated a lot of stuff. Although I will say that John Goodman's character is perfect. I think this is going to be one you are going to find. I think you are going to find you will get some backlash similar to the Frog Brothers on this one.
Oh, that's fine with me. I really did not like his character here.
So for audio, I gave it a 9 again.
I gave it a 6. Most of those points are for Jeff Daniels, so.
Yeah, I gave it a 9 because it's not perfect. It's not the best thing ever. The score isn't that memorable. And I also recognize that this movie has done a number on me. How scary?
I can go first if you want, because I'm not going to lie. I talked about it in the last couple episodes. Yeah. I was dreading watching this movie. And there was one time where I had to, as I called it, nope the fuck out.
What part was it?
Fuck. I think it was like, when all of the spiders started coming out at the end.
Ugh.
But here's the thing. I immediately started looking away and I was like, oh, wait, it's really not that bad.
What?
I had a very weird reaction to this movie. It almost worked like immersion therapy for me.
Oh my God. You and my dad would get along. You're sick.
No, I would never, I would never tease anybody about their spider stuff, but, cause I do get it. But honestly, other than the first, I'll give you a couple times actually. There were a couple of times where it like got under my skin a little bit, but it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was. It was really not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And I mean, like you're I insane. Said, it. I have killed a spider since I've watched this movie, so it kind of worked for me a little bit. But
from laying in bed and a spider crawling underneath his covers, to when the old lady turns off the lamp, to when the dudes eat the popcorn, the person puts on the helmet, the person puts on the shoe, The girl's getting a shower, reaches behind her. Like, I literally face the shower head and do not close my eyes when I shower. This is the best I possibly can. I always check underneath the toilet seat.
Yeah.
This movie has so, like, I think they literally base the script around fears people have of spiders. And when the dude, like, I jumped when he, I forgot, but when he was eating the cereal and he pours it out and the spider's inside there. Mm-hmm. Or when they're moving the blind and the thing pops out. Like, it... I can't believe that someone who's also afraid of spiders, obviously you aren't as afraid as me, and or maybe this is just because this is the thing that did it to me. I would give this an 11, but we don't give below 1 and we don't give above a 10.
Yep.
This movie is without a doubt the scariest thing for me on this podcast we've done. It's been years since I've seen it, and I was still jumping and yelling at the screen so much so that Devin had to, like, ask me to stop because she was working from home. It messes me up, man. I kind of laid some groundwork for you guys to explain, like, spiders have been something that has been something that has bothered me forever.
Yeah.
When I see them in, like, pet stores or at the zoo, it still shocks, even though behind the glass, it still messes me up. I sometimes will, if I really hate myself, there's this YouTube channel where this guy has pet spiders and he'll, like, change their water dishes and they'll, like, jump at the tweezers when he tries to pull them out. It makes me want to vomit just thinking about it. I don't know. I think the fact that they use real spiders, I think the fact that if you saw this as a kid in particular and then had kind of the experiences that I had growing up, it's awful. It's one of the most terrifying things we've done on this podcast. For me personally, I'm happy that it worked for you. Maybe that's a good sign for the future for other people, but for myself, I'd give it an 11 if I could. We don't break the rules. So I gave it a 10, a strong 10 with an asterisk.
I give it 5. It was still had its jumpy parts, but honestly, like, it was nowhere near as bad as I thought it was going to be.
And maybe I talked it up, but man, it did not miss the mark for me. It was painful.
Yeah, for me, it was just, I don't know. It was, yeah, it again, like I said, it had its moments where mm-hmm. there's, like, these jumpy parts and
yeah.
something freaked me out or got under my skin a little bit, but nothing was, like, ever, nothing stayed with me after.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Sorry.
So, for plot, I gave it a 9. I just gave it a 6. You don't be sorry. This isn't like it's like a favorite movie of mine. I'm not saying this is a, like, this is like, this isn't Goodfellas, my friend. This is a whole different kind of bag of nuts. For plot, I gave it a 9. Just gave it a 6.5. For cinematography, I gave it an 8. Just gave it a 5. For audio, I gave it a 9. Just gave it a 6. And for how scary, I gave it a strong 10. And just gave it a 5. That gives it a Here's Johnny final score of a 73. And in our master list, Justin.
Yes.
It falls between a video game and a movie. It is right below Vampyr, which has a 74%. That is the 2019 vampire game. And right above Resident Evil, the original movie, which also has a 73%. The film above it is the original Evil Dead.
Cool.
Yeah, this movie is now behind us.
It wasn't as bad for me, so I'm like, okay, I'm sorry that you had to watch it again.
I'm just happy it's over. We're going to play a commercial from a member podcast of Kaleidoscope Media Network, and then head on in to the closing.
Ghosts. Split souls. Monsters. Sociopathic villains. Cold-blooded murders. And nightmares becoming reality. Does this sound like horror to you? Actually, these are all things that can be found in the Harry Potter series.
It can be scarier than you might think.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Audrey.
And on our podcast, Wizard Studies, we talk about all these parts of the wizarding world and even some more lighthearted stuff.
We can be found anywhere you listen to your podcasts and on Instagram and Facebook as Wizard Studies Podcast and Twitter as Wizard Studies.
Now back to your regularly scheduled horror talk on Here's Johnny.
So Justin, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm really happy that this actually worked as like immersion therapy for you, that it helped you get through it. It didn't for me, obviously, but I'm being 100% serious. I think it's awesome that
it did something for me.
You were able to kind of get through it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So coming up on the show next week will be our review of Godzilla vs. Kong. It releases on HBO Max, I believe, either tomorrow or Friday. This weekend, nonetheless. I'm very excited. It's going to be kind of the culmination of the whole Godzilla King Kong Kaiju story for this season, because we are going to be rapidly heading into our Saw mini section, and then wrapping up the season, heading into the next stuff. So fingers crossed it's good. Fingers crossed for Mechagodzilla. Fingers crossed they focus less on people and more on monsters. But we will see. Are you going to try to watch? I guess it's 2 days away. There's no way you're going to try to watch the other movies before.
I already told you weeks ago that if you wanted me to watch them, if you thought it was important, you would have put it in the show. So
it isn't that important. We'll do a. I can give you a basic rundown, but basically, the idea I think is that
Kong's the good guy.
Well, if they're going to study Kong, maybe, or try to bring him in for studying or whatever. I think Godzilla is pissed off because researchers kept the head of King Ghidorah from the Godzilla King of the Monsters. Like, they preserved a head. And my guess is they're using the head of King Ghidorah to make a Mecha Godzilla.
So, should I watch these movies? If I have time, I will, but...
If you have time, if you wanted to, I would say Kong Skull Island is a good movie. It is a legitimate, like, fun, good movie, which in hyper violent, which really caught me off guard.
Interesting.
So
okay.
Kong Skull Island is a really good one. Godzilla King of the Monsters has some of the best kaiju fighting I've ever seen. Its people subplot is garbage, especially for the actors that it has.
Isn't it like 3 fucking hours long or something like that?
Like 2.5. Like I said, there's some, we don't need that anymore. Like, people need to realize that padding these movies with bullshit does not help.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are very, very close to starting our Saw mini season. We got news today that Spiral actually got bumped up a week, and it's actually going to be
May 14th.
Released to theaters. Oh, May 14th?
Is when it comes out now.
All right, we need to talk a lot then. Okay, we need to talk a lot then. Okay, so with all that being said, Justin, any last thoughts before we hop off here?
Yes. So we mentioned it to the patrons today while we're recording, but we have a mid-season redesign. I figure I'll try to, if I remember, I will release it when this episode comes out.
Okay.
Kind of to give it a week to be out there before we have our Kong versus Godzilla, but it is very much Kong versus Godzilla in theme.
I think it's going to be really cool, yeah.
Yeah.
I like and it, again, so. Thank you to your wife. She killed it. Absolutely.
And now she just like wants to keep drawing, so I'm fucking cool with that too.
Cool. So that's all that we have, guys. So until next week, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at heresjohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/heresjohnnypodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers. So head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.